The following is a presentation of the Cold Slither Podcast Network.
Welcome to another exciting episode of the Quick Nations Comic Book Chronicles. I am your host, Tim Dio Double G. Yay! And tonight I'm joined by the man behind the sound effects, at Agent_70 on Twitter.
What's up, everybody? We are back from a brief Star Wars hiatus.
Star Wars delayed us by 2 days.
That's right.
And we also have at Roddy Cat on Twitter.
Oh, no.
All right, that's enough of that. What up, everybody?
Good job, Roddy.
The Force is strong with Roddy.
That's right. I'm surprised that, you know what's funny is that with what Google has done with logging in, I'm surprised there's nothing in Hangouts that show that's affected, you know, that Star Wars-esque.
That's true.
Maybe because there's more audio with that and they don't want to disturb conversations.
Yeah, that's probably right. That's probably right.
The thing they did for their if you Google long time ago in a far, far away, thing, it comes up there.
Right, and then you could choose, like, the light side, the dark side, you can, you know, like, it changes everything. But anyway, I'm sorry to interrupt. I was just wondering, with all the Star Wars stuff, I'm like, wait, Hangouts hasn't been affected at all.
Doesn't seem like it, but...
All right, moving on.
And not with us tonight, but enjoying family time is at @PCN_dirt on Twitter.
Yay to family time!
He is simply having a wonderful Christmas party, we think.
As far as the one photo he sent us shows, looks like he is. Make sure to go to his website, popculturenetwork.com. And make sure to go to our website, theclicknation.com. You can find previous episodes of the Comic Book Chronicles and comic book reviews. Follow the Twitter account, @CBCron. Like the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/theclicknation. As to your circles on Google Plus, you can go to google.com/+TheClickNation. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and youtube.com/TheClickNation. Give us 5-star reviews. Help us move up the podcast rankings. We greatly appreciate that.
We do.
Oh, and you can also subscribe just to the Comic Book Chronicles podcast by going to the feed itunes.apple.com/US/podcast/ClickNationsComicBookChronicles. Dashes in between the words.
We probably need a short length for that.
Yeah, good idea. I task you with that.
Sure. Okay.
You asked for it.
Yeah, I know.
And we are a part of the Cult of the Podcast Network. Go to their website, cspn.us, and check out all the other podcasts on the CSPN Podcast Network. Buy some of the Comic Chronicles gear at the CSPN shop. Go to redbubble.com/people/CSPN/shop. We normally record live every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern time.
That's right, except, you know, for when these big movies come out and we absolutely positively need to get to a Thursday night screening.
This was a national holiday. We couldn't not go.
And also whenever there's holidays, like the next 2 weeks.
Right. Yeah, those other days that sure people celebrate.
Yep.
Yeah, we're definitely off next week, and more than likely the following week as well. We'll see.
Right. We may be doing a later show, much like we're doing this week.
Actually, probably a couple of later shows if things go by.
And if you're on social media discussing comic books, make sure to use the hashtag Comic Book Chronicles or CBCron. Join the conversation.
That's right. We love to hear from you.
All right. Let's get to some cinematic news from the previous week. Iron Fist shooting title, initial character descriptions are revealed. So if you're in New York City, like our own Agent 70, and you see signs for the filming of a production called Kick, you stumbled across a location where Marvel Television is filming the upcoming Netflix series Iron Fist.
Kick. Gotta love it. It's better than Tiara.
What was Tiara?
Tiara's Luke Cage.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Nice.
Don't you guys remember when I said, when I mentioned that on the show?
That's, I remember you mentioned it, but I remember the...
Yeah, I totally forgot, actually.
That's funny.
And let's see, Kurt Russell supposedly rumored for Star-Lord's dad in Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
All right.
That'll be something, if that's true.
Yeah. There's a lot of cast additions to the CW's DC shows, and I guess even the CBS show. The Flash to add DC Comics Eliza Harmon / Trajectory. Flash is going to add DC Comics villain Geomancer. Supergirl bosses explain surprise Martian Manhunter twist. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
In case you haven't got caught up. And white Martians are set to appear on Supergirl because Martian Manhunter.
Man, I really got to catch up on Supergirl. I'm so far behind.
It's not bad. It's not bad at all.
Yeah, I've missed like 4 episodes here and there, so I got to do some catch. I just need to like to start from the beginning again and just watch them all through. Let's see. Doctor Strange writers were revealed. In addition to director Scott Derrickson, C. Robert Cargill has been working on the script. G.I. Joe, Micronauts, ROM, and more are to get shared cinematic universe from Hasbro and Paramount Pictures.
Okay, I got 2 sound effects for this. One, the second.
I want to see. You know what? I would poo-poo this thing, but I want to see how they put this together. There is no way in hell. G.I. Joe. Okay, G.I. Joe and Mask. That's already something established.
Yeah.
Visionaries.
Mm-hmm.
Visionaries. If you are of a certain vintage, as our own Agent 70 would say, that's an old 80s. Like, that is an obscure flashback to a cartoon.
Yes.
Visionaries and Micronauts. Like, well, Micronauts never had a cartoon. But regardless, Visionaries like just the most 80s things we have had so far. So how are they going to put that with the rest of that? I do not know. And ROM of all things.
ROM of all things, because it's like, and Micronauts is like...
Micronauts are ROM, I can see, because they're tired already.
Yeah, but, you know, like, they're the microverse, they're sort of outer space,
right.
And ROM falls into that. So how do they mesh with G.I. Joe and Mask and Vision? You know, I don't get it. Seriously.
The only two I care about are G.I. Joe and Mask.
I mean, I would agree. Well, no, actually, like I said, I would love to see what they do with the Visionaries movie, but that's still kind of, like, that is the weirdest
that is
of the
out
weird.
There.
Yeah, so we will see. If they can put this together, all props to them, but I don't, at this
point, I don't see how it fits. That's the problem.
Yeah.
And I think that's the problem that most 80s kids are having right now when they hear the announcements about this shared movie universe between these properties. It's just... It's too much. You can't, you know, there's no way to fit these together.
Oh, they'll fit them together.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah.
It's crazy.
Like, maybe the Mask team goes to Galador. Or
oh, no. They can't. I don't know if Galador is part of the Marvel or part of, whatchamacallit, part of the ROM. I don't think they own anything that's not on the toy box.
Oh, you know what? You're right, because they did put, because they had Space Knights and
right, they've had Infinity subsequent, whatever. Yeah, they've had subsequent adventures on Galador, so I don't think that's part of the ROM lore that Hasbro owns.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Well,
we have given this way too much.
Well, no, because I love ROM Space Knight, and that it's not...
So you're all over the IDW series when it comes out?
I'm going to be reading it with a very open mind because I know that none of the things that I love about ROM's going to be there. So I'm going to read it, see what it's like, see what they're trying to establish, and then go from there. You know, that's pretty much all, you know, that's all I can do at this point. Any ROM fan is going to at least give that first issue a shot.
Yeah, like, I'm going to check it out just for nostalgia's sake, but I don't mind if I don't have much of an affinity for that much of an affinity for ROM outside of reading a couple of books, and I don't even remember what I read then.
Mm-hmm.
So. Okay.
All right, what's next on the news?
Captain America gets 75th anniversary special on ABC in January.
Yay! Oh, that'll be cool.
So,
use that synergy.
Hour long event.
Yeah.
That's cool. Seriously, 20 years ago, did you ever think we would have this on TV?
No.
Not on TV.
Yeah,
no, that's what I'm saying, on TV. Just like a 75th anniversary, you know, special for Captain America. Are you serious? You know, it's awesome.
Yeah. Because Agent Carter will be on by that time, so I'm assuming if it's going to be on the same date, it'll probably be before or after that.
Correct.
So, cool.
And Arrow will bring Vixen to live action after a CWC series.
That's good.
Yay!
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so they kind of teased that during the CWC thing. If you, like, they had some videos, you know, of course you had to be, you know, on that site and looking through that stuff, and they kind of teased that it could happen, but they never said one way or the other. And then there were people out there, like Black owners and so on, you know, kind of lobbying for it, and not saying that they may or may not have anything to do with this, but, and there were questions asked as whether it was ever going to happen or whether she's going to get a book, which that's the next thing, I guess, people are, I've seen people was talking about whether she's going to get a book or not. But it's good to get this step. So, and the girl who said she was who's played the voice and is playing the live action, said she's all for it. So
yeah, and it's gonna be this season.
So which means they're already when they come back from break.
See the 15th episode on February 24th. No story details as of yet.
Sweet.
Quick ad read here. This episode of Comic Book Chronicles is sponsored by Busted Tees, your home for funny, awesome, cool t-shirts that are sure to get your friends' attention. Busted Tees puts many of their popular shirt designs on sale each week. Choose from several eye-catching t-shirts inspired by pop culture, such as Super Suits, Luigi and Mario in Green Arrow and the Flash suits, Zool House Rock, Ghostbusters, Central City Running Club, The Flash, and much more are on sale. To help keep our podcast free, order from Busted Tees by going to cspn.us. That's cspn.us, then click on the Keep Our Podcast Free link. Click on the Busted Tees banner and then shop for awesome t-shirts. Busted Tees through cspn.us. Do it today.
You know you need to get those last second Christmas gifts.
You're only days away.
Got it. Pay for that extra fast shipping.
Let's see. The March 2016 solicits came out this week from all the publishers, so go check those out. I need to remind myself to start including, like, the links and some of these links into the actual posts I put on the website.
What do you mean, the show notes link or?
Like, links to, like, the solicits and stuff like that. Or I could just post them myself since I get some of them from the publishers. That's a lot, though.
Yeah, we got time. New year.
Let's see, comic book news of the week.
Oh, wait, before you get that up, there is one thing I wanted to mention up in clickbait.
Okay.
And that was, Since we are in a post-Force Awakens era, Google did do something, a little phone game, which, granted, this is slightly outside of what we do because this is more of a gaming thing than a comics thing, but it still ties. So they made a browser game that you tie to your phone.
It was awesome.
You mess with it?
I played it.
Yeah,
I played it Thursday night before going to Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Nice. It's called Lightsaber Escape, and you need to go to g.co.lightsaber in Chrome, and then you'll see a browser, or you will see a link that you put on your phone, and then it'll tie the two, and then you can use your phone as a lightsaber, and it's pretty cool. So if you ever get a chance to check that out, do so.
I was about to say, I unfortunately was not able to master the game because I didn't give myself enough time to play. I loaded it up just before heading over to the screening. I did get there a little too early. You know, the lines really hadn't formed. But I loaded it up on a Chrome browser, and it was pretty fun. But, you know, you're not really spoiling anything by saying that. You have to kind of teach yourself to block using a lightsaber.
Right.
So, and that's then really, that's really what it comes down to, you know?
Right. And then the Star Wars app itself also has a similar lightsaber training thing that you can do with. But that's that. Like I said, if you're so inclined, have at it.
Cool. So I guess before we move on to the comic book news, we'll just mention that the three of us did see Star Wars The Force Awakens Episode 7.
That happened.
We did.
Are we going to wait for Dirt to watch it before we talk about it on the show, or just add it to the Treasury Edition that we're going to end up doing for, like, all TV movies at some point?
I was going to say, we could talk about it now since...
Well, I was going to say, at least a little quick impressions, because, I mean, you know...
He's not here, so...
All right, Dirt, spoiler alert for you, Dirt, don't listen!
Well, no spoilers, but yeah.
So, I liked it.
I did too, and me and Tim talked about this a little bit last night, and he had said something that pretty much fits the build, and pretty much said that it's a new hope for a new generation, which is kind of the case. Now, for people of a certain vintage, there are a lot of homages and some slight blatant ones, actually.
Well, you know what's funny? One of the things, and it sounds like you're kind of hinting at what a friend of mine who came to the movie, you know, like I went with a couple of friends, and one of them said something that and used a term that I've heard used before. I never really used it in describing, you know, movies or comics or anything like that. But the way he described it was there was a lot of fan service.
Yeah, I didn't want to say that, but there is a lot of that. Yeah, and it seems that's the case.
And I never quite understood what that was because I had just never bothered to Google it. Right? Mm-hmm. But once I heard him say that and I Googled it and I figured out what it was, I said, well, you know what? I guess there was a lot of fan service in the movie.
Right. And that was probably more for the older amongst us because this is pretty much not a movie for someone who has been with the franchise for the whole time or for any good length of time, specifically with the original trilogy. Mm-hmm. So, and that's not a good or bad thing. It's just what it is. And in certain cases, it does make sense. That's without going into any specifics, but it is going to be, it may or may not be slightly jarring to those who have been there from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. As much as I enjoyed Adam Driver as Kylo Ren, his face is so hateable.
I'm just like, when did the Star Wars bad guys become hipsters? I'm sorry.
Well, you have to admit, his look was, for the character he's playing, his look was pretty much on point. Because, like, you kind of hate him already. I mean, you're already going into it kind of hating him. Or liking him, because some people, you know, love to have that, oh, I love the dark side thing, you know.
Yeah. My favorite sort of spoilery thing was, we did have a Hollywood actor. We found out a Hollywood actor lied about not having a cameo appearance in the movie. I thought that was pretty funny.
Well,
helps have your films filming next to each other,
and it also helps to be friends with be working with the director, kind of, you know, in certain capacities.
You know,
as a couple of the cameos has shown,
right?
Because yeah, that was a list of cameos. I should have put that in the clickbait, but whatever. There was a list of cameos that came out. Some of them were known, some of them were not. It wasn't that many, but it was, you know, a few notables, a couple of notables anyway. Overall, it was enjoyable. Not sure if I'm gonna see it. Well,
I don't know how good of a movie it was, but then if you think back of all the Star Wars movies, how many of them were actually good movies? You know, like actually, you know what I mean? Like,
definitely not episodes 1 through 3.
See, I'm going back on that because I don't think as a whole they were as bad as people making them out to be. Now, episode 2 was not a great movie at all.
Yeah.
But one and two, one and three had some good points to them.
I thought that 3 was probably the best of the second trilogy.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then everyone seems to get on the Strikes Back bandwagon. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. So as a whole, there was like, we got from there to what we know, and then, and here we are in undiscovered country, if I'm going to borrow from another franchise.
Gotcha.
Who's your favorite character?
That's a good question, because I can make a case for the two main ones. I mean,
Ray and Finn are the two main.
Ray and Finn. You know, like Poe kind of had his thing going on also, but you know, you still really hadn't. Like, you don't really get much off of him outside of what he's in, what he does. But
you know, I'm kind of between Chewie and BB-8 actually. Yeah, I thought they had the best moments. Stand out.
They had good moments.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine's definitely between Rey or Finn. I don't know if I can make a choice right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes me laugh, though, because why did they make John Boyega turn off his British accent?
Mm-hmm. Well, historically, most of the Empire has been British, and I think they've, and even in this one, that's the case. Now, I'm not saying that that's the reason why, but it kind of would make sense if that was the case.
Mm.
So,
but yeah.
We didn't get a whole lot of Phasma either.
No. Yeah, no, very little, very little.
It felt like her stuff got cut on the cutting room floor.
Yeah, or maybe they're saving her for one of the later ones or something. I'm hoping, because we didn't get enough to get a sense of her.
Right, and it was and it was very obviously, you know, we have to, you know, if we're going to talk spoilers, there's one particular plot point that I thought, you know, they kind of diverged from.
We probably shouldn't go too far in the spoilers because it's still first week and it's still a bunch of people kind of.
Yeah, there's still a whole day of the weekend left.
Yeah,
good point. Hopefully, we didn't say too much.
No. Not too much. It's a good time. I don't, like I said, I don't know if it's the best movie, you know, like in terms of like film structure and film, you know, whatever, But it's enjoyable. It keeps it moving for the most part. I happened to catch a really late showing. Got in at 11:30 after 20 minutes of previews and trailers of movies that are trailers I've already seen, like Civil War and Batman Superman. I thought the funniest one was there was a Disney animated movie Zootopia, with animals. Yeah. Yeah, that was the funniest thing I saw. That was a great primer.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
To wake us up. With the sloth, that was hysterical.
Yeah. Then there was that Warcraft movie.
Oh yeah,
that started it up.
I'm mad because I'm assuming because I saw the 3D showing that the trailers were different because I didn't get Civil War, which pissed me off.
Oh really?
When I got the Warcraft, I got and X-Men Apocalypse were like the big ones.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that one also
didn't get Batman Superman. So
really.
When I see it in 2D, which now I'm talking myself into go seeing it tomorrow again. Jeez. I'll be looking for those trailers.
Okay. Yeah. Well, real quick. So, I mean, just to finish up, after sitting, getting to a late showing like that, sitting through the trailers, the movie kept me awake for the most part. I did start to fade a little bit right before, the final act. But, God bless, seriously, God bless the movie theater and the concession stand that decided it was a good idea to serve coffee. Because that was awesome. That was awesome. That was the kick I needed to make it through that late showing. So,
no God alcohol? Bless.
No, it's weird. There's, at least in the five boroughs of New York City, they're still kind of behind on, the amenities for movie theaters. Right. I know in the suburbs they have, the reclining seats and the big cushy, Lazy Boy chairs and alcohol and food service, and, kind of food service at your chair. But, in the five boroughs, it's a little, it's not as easy to do.
It's funny. We just got, was it this year? It might have been last year. We got a new theater that's got, the amenities, the food service and reclining leather seats and all that stuff. And then now the two other theaters in town have renovated and I think have that now. I haven't been to either one of them in a while, but I got a free coupon to go check out one of them. And then the discount theater closed.
Ooh, y'all still had one?
Yeah, it used to be a dollar, then it was $2, and I think it was $4. But they show stuff 3 months later.
Yeah.
So.
Y'all got an Alamo, right?
No.
Alamo Draft House?
That's when I was in Texas.
Oh, wait, no, because y'all are getting one, I think, but y'all don't have it yet. Yeah.
We're not getting, no, we don't have Alamo Draft House?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think y'all are getting one. I thought I saw an article a while back saying y'all are probably
getting one next year. So. Maybe Atlanta's getting it.
Yeah.
But anyway. Anyway, like I said, that was my experience, at least.
So look to theclicknation.com later this week for a written review and another little article I'm going to try to put together that's going to relate to the Marvel Star Wars comic book line.
Cool.
Ding!
Ding? Spoilering?
No, the ching.
Oh, ching, ching. Okay.
I was like,
what do you want me to do?
I'm like, my mind, that's what I want you to do.
All right.
Comic book news. Frank Miller wants to write a Superman comic with Batman as the bad guy. So he wants to write Batman v Superman adaptation.
Goodness gracious.
DC Comics has announced a Legends of Tomorrow anthology series.
Which apparently doesn't have anything to do with the show.
Yeah, with only two characters from it.
Right.
Dark Knight 3, number 1, dominates November's comic book sales.
Yeah, because they had all those variants.
I still need to read it. I'm going to try to read it before Sunday ends. Because the issue 2 comes out this week, or this Wednesday.
Excuse me. And, well, at least Vader Down was second, so that's something.
Supergirl is getting a digital first series from DC Comics, which will be based on the hit CBS show.
Quick, we got a show. We need a book for it.
Ah!
If only it worked that way.
I know, right?
There's a new comic app from Comicker. Yeah, cheap apps for digital comics aren't the big thing they once were, but they are still out there. Comicker, a website that was introduced earlier this year with 5 comic series, just launched on an iOS app. Monthly subscription for $2.99. Comicker series will remain available on Comixology and drive-through comics, but now you can read them on your device. Cool.
Yeah, normally I wouldn't put it there because it's iOS only, but whatever.
Titan brings Showtime's Penny Dreadful to comic stores. The full lineup of Free Comic Book Day 2016 titles were announced.
Ooh.
Yeah, and I think they put 82,000 back in there, it looks like, from myself, what I saw from another article. So there's that. And, of course, Rom is coming out. Who's going to have one then.
Shout out to Matt Wayne, who's watching live.
Yep.
All right.
As we look at a picture of you guys at the Star Wars. So.
Oh, yeah.
Agent 70 coming. Agent 70 coming straight from work. I see.
Yes. Yes.
Nothing wrong with that. You're in your slacks and button up while other people were in their Chewbacca and Darth Vader.
I know, right?
Was your theater like
Comic-Con
convention that night?
Not really. This particular theater is a little bit out of the way. I think that's why Matt chose it. It wasn't, you know, it's not close to the main subway hubs, because I can only imagine what some of the really popular mainstream theaters were like that night. You know, like there's a couple, you know, that there's one that I kind of frequent at Union Square. It's like one of the main transit hubs in the lower part of Manhattan. I can only imagine what that theater was like. You know, there was a few people in costume. There's a couple stormtroopers around, but nothing too crazy.
Yeah, it was like I said, it was a comic convention at the theater I went to. There was
nice.
There were Chewbacca's posing for pictures with the local security policemen there. Princess Leia in the white with the ears,
mm-hmm.
the ear, the hair in the bun.
The buns, yeah.
There was a guy in front of me in the concession stand line talking about how I think it was like his third time seeing it that day or something like that.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
I was like, okay, buddy. Let's move this along. I just didn't want him to start, like, talking about stuff. Mm. I was, like, giving him the side eye.
That explains the $57 million that it made during the course of that day, because apparently that's what it made. And as for me, there was, now, from what I heard, like, the two, I was mentioning this kind of earlier before we recorded, the two 3D showings sound like they had more people in costume, and I think probably the one 2D showing before I came in, but there was, like, most of the people in the show that I had just pretty much had just, like, paraphernalia on, like, shirts and T-shirts, a couple of hoodies here and there, you know, no real big dress-up. I think one dude, there was a Kylo Ren dude, there was a dude dressed up as Kylo Ren in the lobby, but I think he was in that show, but I'm not sure. And he had his lightsaber with him, and that was his dude that was with him had a Wookiee hoodie on him. So, but that was pretty much the extent of it. And we had trivia.
I had my Chewbacca Wookiee of the Year T-shirt on with my Star Wars Millennium Falcon lounge pants, and
there was a lot of that.
Matching socks.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of people wearing pajama pants with you know, Star Wars stuff on and whatnot. So I got to get me some gear. I don't have anything like that.
The T-shirt I got over the summer and the pants and socks I just happened to get last month.
I've been debating a Jedi robe.
Let's see. So yeah, so one of the interesting things from the pre-comp book day roster was Marvel's releasing a Captain America number one. So is that going to be when Steve Rogers puts back on the blue, red, white, and blue?
I saw you or somebody mentioning that on Twitter, and I'm like,
I think the pre-comp book day is the same weekend as Civil War.
Civil War.
So maybe it's a tie-in then.
Synergy.
They gotta put him back into the uniform for when people see him on the screen.
Mm. Yeah. Or could be a flashback or something.
Yeah. Could be.
We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
It'd be funny if they made Captain Falcon, you know, or something like that. They just kept him in the uniform or something, you know, or did something so that they can both be, you know, they may not both be Captain America, but he seems to have gained a lot of. Let's say followers and fans because of the way he's been, you know, acting and working as Captain America. You know, I know a lot of people, you know, I have mixed feelings about like the fact that it's almost like he's graduating from Falcon to being Cap, because I always liked him as Falcon. I thought that they had a lot, they could have made him a really good Falcon. I hate to say this, the same way they've made and advanced the Falcon character in the Avengers cartoon.
Yeah, I don't know. It took a little while for, well, actually it didn't take that long. Let me stop saying that. For Bucky to just become Cap and not Bucky Cap, as we were saying, or whatnot. But
no, he was always Bucky Cap, though.
Well, I mean, to like us, but I mean, I think more other people were just like, yeah, he's Cap now. So, And I was kind of hoping it would get that way with Falcon, but you know, it probably won't.
I don't know. He's always gonna be Bucky Cap, so I wouldn't.
To me too. You know, totally.
So. You know, it's just that, you know, now we'll see where Marvel is, is going with this, because if it's all about the corporate synergy, then yes, Steve will be back in the red, white, and blue with the shield. But if it's about, you know, maintaining the story and telling it to its logical conclusion, or just to maintain, you know, this particular status quo, then, you know, we'll see which one wins out.
Right. How long will All New, All Different actually be All New, All Different?
Right.
I say until the weekend of Captain America Civil War.
Which is still a good 5 months away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if that was the case, then there will be some interesting words about Cap's run, which was not always clean.
Yeah.
Or Falcon's run. So.
Exactly. Especially with Secret Wars jumping in there, breaking it up.
The Hollywood Reporter has an exclusive on a comic book series called North from Michael B. Jordan and Nathan Edmondson, drawn by Dennis Cowens and Bill Sienkiewicz.
So clearly, if Michael B. Jordan had anything to do with any of this outside of, you know, I guess writing concept, whatever, we know it's going to be at least written and or drawn pretty decently.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
So I'm kind of curious as to what that's going to be. And I wonder if this is going to start a trend because, he's writing this book. There's that Niobe book by Amanda Steinberg, whatever her name. Forgive me if she's actually watching from Hunger Games. That she's that's writing with Ashley Woods. So
shout out to Dirt. Out to Dirt, who just sent us a great picture of the important part of the Christmas festivities he's attending.
The drinks.
Yes, there is imbibing to be going on. That's going on.
But it's not like we haven't seen celebrities getting books or whatnot before now. So I guess that's just something that's going to happen every now and then.
So at least with it being coming from Dark Horse, we should be able to get review copies of it.
Mm-hmm.
Most important thing.
Right. And like you guys said, it's we're guaranteed that this is going to be a well put together comic. It's not just going to be kind of slapped together.
Yeah,
I love that. That's pretty cool.
Skip. Dark Horse explores the worlds of Broken Age.
Yeah.
I know nothing of Broken Age.
So Broken Age is a game made by Double Fine. It was a Kickstarter first, and now I think it's out on Steam, and I think it may be out on like consoles now, and it was episodic. It had voice work with Elijah Wood and a few dozen other people. It had some star power, a little bit of star power behind it. This is just an art book to it. I don't think it's an ongoing book, and I haven't actually played the game, so I don't necessarily know too much about what's going on to it outside of the fact that it is take place in two different places with two different characters, and I guess they meet up at some point or there's a convergence somewhere. So for by some accounts, people like the game, so I guess there's something to it. Like I said, I haven't yet to do it, and in the years coming up, I'm sure we'll hear more about it.
If you buy Spider-Man Deadpool number 1, you'll also get a copy of Vision number 1 for free. Or, not a copy, but Vision number 1 will be included in your purchase.
That's a good thing. That is a good thing. That is a pure benefit to anyone picking up, you know, this gimmick Spider-Man Deadpool book.
Yeah.
Because you're getting a great comic packaged along with it. Vision number 1 is really awesome. Go back, check our archives to listen to what we think about this great series.
Yeah, it has become a sleeper hit around these parts. So,
Humble Bundle celebrates 10 years of boom with a bundle worth $759.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot of stuff.
Boom all over yourselves.
End the show now.
Good night, everybody.
Oh, but yeah, but it's some pretty decent stuff on there, you know. And Humble Bundles are always a pretty good value, you know. So
and Boom also announces an Archaea soft cover Vanguard for Rust the Boy Soldier. All right, yeah. Where's my mouse? Anything in the variant cover?
And there's only a couple of things. There's Marvel celebrates Women's History Month with Women of Power variant covers.
Okay.
As someone that did that retweeted me and added a comment, said when I posted the article, Marvel could celebrate it by hiring more women.
There is that.
That's true.
And a few more editors, I'm sure that would come up also. But if you're watching the video, you can see the examples that CBR have for their covers.
Yeah. So, only four covers out so far.
Yeah, but the list is, there's a lot on the list, though. So.
And last read of the night goes to My Comic Shop. Go to cspn.us, then click on Keep Our Podcast Free link at the top of the page. From there, click on the My Comic Shop banner and order from a vast selection of new releases, back issues, vintage classics, graphic novels, and more to be delivered right to your door. Why bother slipping to the local comic book store when you can order your books online? My Comic Shop through cspn.us. Do it today.
That could potentially be the last ad read of the year. Unless we get a couple of other shows in.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So let's see. This was a week for three Marvel hip hop covers.
None of which I got.
Really?
Yeah.
I only got
my shop.
Suicide Squad. Squadron Supreme is the only one I got.
My shop didn't have, I don't think he had any of them actually, now that I think about it.
So the Squadron Supreme one was the tribute to 36 Chambers, Wu-Tang.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Weird World, number one, was a tribute to Snoop.
Yeah.
And last, not least, the Star Brand and Night Mask. I'm not sure which album this is. I apologize.
Gangstar, Hard to
Earn. Ah, thank you very much.
I actually kind of want that cover.
Yeah, that's the one I'm looking for. So.
Cool.
I just went to Second and Charles, and they had the Squadron Supreme. I didn't even ask my shop owner if he got any this week, because I feel like paying extra $2 to $5.
Yeah. So since my shop said he had lowered all the prices on ours, I was like, you know what? It depends. I'll get
them. You play the waiting game?
Yeah, I'll do that. It'd be nice.
I don't blame you. Like,
I go to, was it the, what's the Midtown Comics?
Oh, to order online?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, you know, I luck out. I honestly luck out having access to these things, you know, unless I have to travel. And that's when, you know, like you add on the price of like a subway ride, you know, right, to the total cost. But if you don't think about that, you know, and you end up getting other stuff, then it's not so bad.
Right.
So those are the books. Those are the hip-hop covers that came out this week.
Do you want to talk about any of those?
I unfortunately didn't get a chance to read any of them. I wanted to get to Squadron Supreme before getting to, you know, starting the show, but I was not able to get to it.
I know that
there's some big things going on in it.
Yes.
There's a dead...
Wait, hold on.
I didn't say who it was.
Okay.
Just said the character dies.
So let's start off like this. This is the team of James Robinson and Leonard Kirk. So if you have read, was it Autumn Invaders, you know, and like that book, I think you will probably enjoy this book.
And actually the Fantastic Four.
And Fantastic Four, right, yeah.
It's actually the team, the same creative team from that.
Right.
I do like Leonard Kirk's art. Him and the colorist, who I don't know, work well together.
There was some good art. The one question I had about this issue was, where is this taking place? Is this like 616?
Yep. That's this the is the Marvel Universe.
Right. That's what I thought, because there was something that seemed rather odd. Like, we still don't know, and I assume we're going to get this at some point, is that, like, this is 8 months later. We don't know how they formed. We know kind of, sort of, because at least and even on that one, I don't remember to directly, because there was, like, Dr. Spectrum, who came from one of the Earths that was destroyed during New Avengers. And then everybody else came from their Earths that were destroyed during the same time, but I don't know if we ever actually saw those. Maybe with the exception of the Hyperion one. And even that one seemed like that was the 616 Hyperion, but it was a different suit, but I'm sorry, it wasn't him.
Yeah.
No, I think this is the 616 Hyperion.
No. What I'm saying, the Hyperion that is showing up in this book.
Yeah, I thought it was.
It is.
I thought he was the lone holdover.
Is it? Because his panel, when they showed his Earth, it didn't seem like it was, they didn't say 616.
Yeah, because he's not originally from the 616.
That's right.
He was from another Earth that died and came to the 616.
Well, wait, he got pulled to the 616, though, but that's still, seems weird. Yeah. That, okay, sure. All right, I'll take that.
Because his image was of the Avengers.
Right. And that's what threw me. So I was like, wait a minute, if it's that one, then why are they using this Earth as opposed to saying 616? But nah, I got it. I'm with it now. I'm together. Story-wise, well, it's an interesting start. I mean, you see them plotting about what they're going to do against a character that gets dealt with later on in the issue. Mm-hmm. I would say good riddance to that character. And the only thing I was saying, I'm kind of upset that character didn't get dealt with the character that I wanted him to get dealt with. That's all I'm going to say about that part.
Get dealt with.
Yeah. So, you know, he kind of lost his head and things happened.
Ah.
You know, which is the last page of the book, like after the last page.
Stuff happens.
Yeah, like the preview for the next issue was kind of funny, to where you see two characters, or at least part of two characters, mm-hmm. I will say. Outside of that, I don't know. I'm going to be curious to see what happens in the next issue. I would still like to see more of, which I'm assuming is going to happen, you know, how they came about to find them each other. Mm-hmm. I would have loved to see more new universe characters, but that's, you know, the one we got in here. Because when they showed Blur, who's the new universe character, they showed the picture of DP7, which is, I guess, would be iconic, you know, them in a lineup or wasn't them in a lineup, but them all together in the one picture, which was like, man, they didn't use enough new universe people, which I guess we'll get to that next. But
and then we do see an Avengers team take notice.
And it's an appropriate team, given, you know, given the ties of who gets their comeuppance in the issue.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So we will see how that plays. But I don't think this team has fared too well lately. I don't know. I haven't been reading the book. So.
Well, you know what's funny is that, you know, given what happens in this book, and I'm not going to spoil much, but, you know, there's characters out there who obviously we may not have seen them interact with the character that gets got for a while. But, you know, this veteran character... you know, definitely had had a share of relationships throughout the Marvel Universe, and you would think that, you know, something like this happening fairly publicly, you know, would bring out more than just a squad of, you know, a super team. You know, there might be an Odinson, you know, coming to the fore or something like that. You know.
Mm-hmm.
You'd think,
but it's still a lot of story to be told.
Correct.
I do like how they just came through and just like wrecked shop.
Yeah. Really. Oh, another thing I wanted to bring up. When after things went down and the media coverage behind it, I kind of slightly applaud whoever thought this up, like James Robson, whoever, because the media part about it, when there was like, you know, asking people's opinions about it or whatnot, it seemed something that would happen. If something like that were happening in real life, the people who would be, you know, saying things one way or the other would be talking just like that. So I found it kind of interesting that it seemed like something that was, you know, modeling real life.
Okay.
So, which was cool. Well, cool and not cool, given the differences of opinion.
So, all right.
So that's Squadron Supreme number one.
Yep, and I guess since we're at it, let's just go ahead and do Starbrand and the Night Mask.
Yeah, I mean, just take care of that, because I didn't have a chance to read it, so.
Yeah.
I
haven't read it either.
Oh, wow. Well, you're in for it. No, I'm not going to say that. Actually, this is rather interesting, I think. So here we have Starbrand and Night Mask. At the beginning of the book, they're in China stopping the Blizzard, who I did not know was Inhuman. So,
Inhuman?
Blizzard.
Yeah.
I thought he was tech-based.
I think he was, actually, but apparently in this book he's an Inhuman.
So. Yeah, they're making a whole bunch of people Inhumans nowadays.
Yeah. Just like they were used to all mutants. All right.
Yeah, so they go to China, stop Blizzard, who apparently was trying to call out Iron Man, but and Nightmare was like, yeah, you're lucky you got us, so in a sense. But then after that, Bobby DaCosta comes in offering them, you know, membership to the new Avengers. They decline, or rather Nightmask decline, because they're going to college and they end up at ESU. So
make them the Spider-Man, right?
Exactly. Which we don't see any Spider-Man, but we do see Squirrel Girl, who apparently is also attending there, interestingly enough.
Yes,
or
she
rather
is.
We yeah. Okay. Oh. So there's that, and they're getting acclimated. But at the same time, we see a couple of old, couple of bums, you might as well say, walking around the campus, mm-hmm. who end up being old villains. One of which was an old Avengers / West Coast Avengers villain,
mm-hmm.
Graviton and Nitro. Which, you know, if you know anything about those two characters, they've had some kind of, I guess they have some college history, especially Nitro giving Social War, Civil War.
I was going to say, it's weird to see this. Yeah, this character's back now, like just in time for Civil War.
Yes and no, because like I said, they both were like, you see both of them, and there was another mysterious figure in the issue.
You can always explain it away that, hey, this is, the universe was remade again.
Yeah, you know, and it's them like looking old and like really bummy, because like I said, you know, Graviton had a, like, I could almost tell it was him at first. It was really weird. I was like, that can't be who I think it is. But they're acting kind of weird and saying like different weird phrases or whatnot. And they're just like just bums, just walking around campus and saying this stuff. And then later on in the issue where Nightmask and Starbrand meet up with them, you know, they show themselves, but they're still acting weird. And they try to, issue ends with them starting to square off, basically. And there's also, like I said, another mysterious figure in the background that may or may not be controlling these two.
Right.
So, and that's where we end off. And then we get another new character intro from this young lady named Imani Green, who's the RA at the guy's dorm. So, but most of the issue was pretty much spent with them trying to get acclimated, and, you know, Starbrand's like, last time I was on a college campus, this didn't go well, and you know, wasn't really too sure about being here and there in the first place, because apparently, like, Nightmask just talked him into it, but. And apparently he may have a thing for this Imani character, mm-hmm. or starting to, who is an interesting character even from first meeting, let's just say. And then, like I said, that's where we get this Squirrel Girl cameo, which was kind of amusing. But I don't know, it was a not bad read. I don't know what's going to become of this, but I'm going to check out the next issue, see what happens.
Hey, Tim, you want to cover the other number one that came out from Marvel this week, Weird World? I was just flipping through it, and oh my God, the art, man.
Mike Del Mundo, ladies.
Oh my God, man. Shout out to Mike Del Mundo. Like, you know, this is so off the chain. Oh my goodness. This is just beautiful stuff. Roddy, did you ever look at this yet?
No.
It's beautiful. Oh my God. On the printed page especially? My goodness. Tell us about it, Tim. I want to hear this.
What we do know is Weird World is apart from Earth, and supposedly at one point, I guess, was a part of Earth. This magician or wizard, I guess, conjures a spell up that can pull things from Earth to Weird World. So it pulls a jet plane with, you know, a passenger plane full of people to Weird World, and we follow along with our protagonist, Becca Rodriguez, as she, you know, meets this wizard that did it, meets this warrior lady that kills the wizard, becomes the warrior lady's squire. We see one of the main characters from the Weird World, Secret Wars series, mm-hmm. and then we find out some interesting background on Becca Rodriguez. She's carrying something in her backpack that she has to go to Mexico to deliver, and at the end of the issue we find out what it is, and see a nice scene that is intriguing, and want to find out more about Becca Rodriguez and her family. And that about sums it up.
Cool. Are you going to pick up the second issue?
Yeah, I'll keep reading it.
Cool. Yeah, that's what I like to hear.
There's some all new books. I'm probably going to read the first issue of all of them, mm-hmm. and then make my decisions there. There's a couple, I won't name them now, but I read the first issues. I was like, yeah, that's probably enough for me. But yeah, this one I'll keep reading. At least Mike Del Mundo's art alone. Mm-hmm. And then the story was nice too from Sam Humphries.
Yeah, it is gorgeous.
Yeah.
Oh, she's back. Great.
Yep.
Yeah, I might check this out. So is this tied from the Secret War series, or no? I mean,
the name alone is the same location.
Yeah, right, but I mean, there's nothing that's tying outside of that. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think Archon is. I mean, he may. You don't know.
He actually shows up in the issue too.
Oh, he does. Okay, so there's a tie-in sort of.
For a second, maybe a page, I think. Mm-hmm. And actually, I'll spoil the page when the people are like trying to escape the plane that's, I guess, like crash landed on Weird World. Becca gets out, and then next page is Archon, like, killing a whole bunch of stuff and saying, like, welcome to Weird World, like, run for your life or something like that.
I think that's the ending of the Weird World Secret War series.
I think that's how it ends.
I'm fairly certain that's how it ends. Welcome to Weird World. So they do tie it together. That's awesome.
Hey, speaking of Archon, Vendra was in Squadron Supreme for, like, a page. Or not even a page, but for, like, a couple of panels talking about... Wanting them to help her with whatever's going on with Lord Archon, is what she was saying, but she was like, maybe not. So I don't know if that's going to tie
into Weird World.
Yeah.
All right, what's next?
What else did you guys read?
How is that We Are Robin stuff, or is that...
Yeah, I can get through that real quick. We Are Robin number 7, which was part 4, I think. No, I can tell you.
I know that Matt Wang liked this. He mentioned this while we were waiting for Star Wars. He said that this part, We Are Robin number 7, is pretty good.
Part 4 of We Are Robin. We find out the Court of Owls make themselves known to the captured Robins. Dick Grayson and Jim Gordon go investigating Councilwoman Noctua, I think her name is. Yeah, she's the one that, I guess, like, put into effect the Robin rules, where anyone wearing an R insignia or the red or yellow colors of Robin are arrested on site. And, of course, they find dirt on her. But it's mostly we spend most of the time in the prison cell with the Robins. And the Court of Owls, they don't really give a reason, but they make Red Hood and Red Robin fight each other to the death in front of everyone. So they start fighting each other a little bit, and basically they aren't pulling punches, but they do set themselves up where during the whole thing they maneuver it where they set free the Robins. There's a big fight with the Court of Owls and the Robins. The Robins start to escape, and then they encounter another owl, like one of the big like muscular owls, and then the issue ends.
Okay.
Had guest art by the guy that did All New X Factor, Carmine Di Giandomenico. I know I'm butchered that. And the only issue I had with it was the big group ball between the Robins and Court of Owls. The We Are Robin kids, at least, haven't been trained at all. They've rarely been a group that long, so I don't see them being able to hold their own against trained
Court of Owls, Assassins, yeah.
But that's it.
Interesting. All right, cool. I just wanted to, you know, I just remembered real quick. I wanted to touch on something that we had talked about, I believe it was last week. This is involving Batman number 47. This was the polybag with the Alex Ross covers.
Did that come out this week?
No, it was last week. This is last week.
Oh, okay.
But remember we were talking about the creases in the covers? Do you guys remember that?
Yeah.
Right, with the polybag. Right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and Dirt was mentioning it, too, because they only, like, out of all of the ones that they opened, there was only a few that came undamaged. So I ended up picking up a copy, and I got the inked version of the cover. You know, I know there was a color, a pencil, and an ink version. I ended up with the inked version, and the crease actually ended up going away after a while. I did notice it, but ended up going away after having the comic out of the poly bag. This was the poly bag. You know, once I opened it, it seemed like the crease decided to kind of heal itself. But it did take a little while, so I just wanted to give people and you know our listeners and our viewers an update on you know what came of the Batman polybag destroyed comics bit that we had been talking about last week.
So get your big Mylar out.
Yeah, right. So all right. Anyway, back to this week's books. All right. I know that Tim mentioned this earlier pre-show. I wanted to talk about Superman American Alien number 2. And I know that this garnered some strong feelings.
Got my issue here.
Now I'm looking for my
physical cover.
I thought there were some strong feelings about this.
Yeah. I thought I picked up a physical copy. I'm still looking for it.
See, it's weird. I'm looking at the credits page. They have Tommy Lee Edwards listed as the illustrator, which he is, and variant cover. Oh, okay, Ryan Sook. I was like, trying to see who actually did this cover. Ryan Sook.
Right, it's Sook, yeah.
He does the covers for all the issues, I believe, so never mind. Or he will be doing the covers.
All right, so this issue involves an incident in Smallville where basically someone who is kind of a bad seed comes back to Smallville and basically wreaks havoc with a small gang and some firearms, and Clark has to act to help out, you know, to help out the local law enforcement, which obviously, given the fact that the town's damn name is Smallville, law enforcement's not very does not have a very large presence. So you know they could use some help, and you know there's a couple of scenes in this where Clark is kind of here and there about you know he kind of waffles between wanting to help and not wanting to help and using his abilities to help. And we ultimately get to a point where Clark has to step in and intervene during this rampage, and you know, kind of leaves the local law enforcement with you know, with some explaining to do, you know, because there's multiple witnesses that witness Clark uses his powers, and he actually leaves someone. Spoiler alert. He leaves someone very, very injured after using his powers. So, you know, there's definitely an aftermath to this. So it's kind of interesting to see what's going to come of this particular incident in the following issues. I didn't think it was so bad. I thought that my biggest problem with this issue was the very last page, the tease on the last page. And I don't want to spoil that. But
yeah, what was up with that? Was there a tease at the last of issue one?
I don't remember. I'd have to look it up. But that last page teaser, I really didn't appreciate it. It made me think that, you know, this is more corporate synergy with the movies that are about to drop in a few months.
Or the next issue will be related to what we saw here.
Right. But it's also related to what's kind of with the movie that's about to drop in a few months. Believe it or not, Dawn of Justice, not that far away anymore.
It comes out in February, right?
March.
Oh, March.
March. That's a heartbeat away now.
And it's still far, still a little ways to go. So my quick rant on this issue, I wasn't crazy about the art, which is subjective,
right,
but just didn't do anything for me. I mean, not for a Superman story, I didn't like it. If it was like a Gotham Central or something like that, sure.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like what Clark did to the dude, like you mentioned before.
Oh, the lasting impact. Yeah, that was kind of
tough. I know he couldn't help himself because he doesn't have control of his powers. It just, this whole thing didn't seem like a Superman story. It seemed like like insert some other superhero character trying to learn the ropes, and it would fit fine, but it doesn't fit what my preconceived notion of a Superman story is. Maybe that's my issue.
Yeah.
I just flipped through it. That last page is a really?
Yeah. Yeah. So you see what I mean about corporate synergy.
That's out of left field.
Yeah.
So. Okay.
Shout out to Roddy, by the way. Great tweet. Great tweet.
What did he say?
All this behind the scenes stuff makes great podcasting here.
Seriously. Marvel Mecca, damn it. Marvel Mecca.
Hell, they brought back Double Dinosaur. Why not?
Seriously. Seriously. They could absolutely. Listen, if they ever wanted to license, like, Robotech, you know what I mean? Or anything other than Transformers. They could absolutely incorporate Red Ronin into that. Imagine bringing back Shogun Warriors.
Ooh. I don't think Marvel would do that. That would be more of a boom or... But I would like to see that. That would be cool.
That, or Dynamite or IDW.
Yeah.
Ronin Warriors.
I think cool. Tim is like something else.
Yeah, I think Tim's about to write that book.
Hey. I need to rewatch it, though.
I know, right?
No, what is Ronin Warriors? Because Tim is definitely dropping some reference to something I'm not familiar with.
So think Power Rangers ish.
Okay.
But with a Shogun aesthetic.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Ronin Warriors. Hello, Google.
Yeah.
I'm also going to pull the YouTube intro for you.
it was a great show. I think I used to have all of the shows in the thing until my server blew, but that was pretty cool. Like it was a Japanese anime, obviously, and they brought it over here, and it was cool. So it was a team of five, and they all had their special element derived powers, and they were also shoguns, ninjas.
Oh wow!
Not ninjas, but you know,
that samurai, really I guess, good. I mean, what is that on Netflix?
No, I wish it was. I think you could probably find it on YouTube.
I remember being out of college. Might have been my freshman year of college. I was at home for the summer.
Wow, was it that night?
Let's see. That makes sense. 98.
Well, the original run is a lot earlier, but when it got ported over to the U.S., it's in the mid to late 90s.
Yeah, it was like Shogun Warriors, I think.
The early 2000s, it would have had to have been.
I got you.
I was at home flipping channels, and I was like, oh, what's this? I just happened to catch it, like, I think the second episode that just started, so I caught it early.
Yeah, and there was a big tiger named White Blaze, who was also pretty badass, but,
White with fear!
Oh, we have totally stepped into the dog's spot. He is absolutely in, you know, he's swinging for the fences right now. That's crazy. Yeah.
So, yeah. So, you know, boom, IDW, somebody, you know, get on that.
Here I am referencing, like, old, like, 70s and 80s properties, like Shogun Warriors, which is, like, big, you know, mecha, you know, fighting aliens and stuff. So, you know, but anyway. All right, so we're done with Superman, American Alien?
Shout out to Ryu.
Yes. Let's see. What else? can we talk about this week? Are we done with DC? Is there anything else DC-ish that we have to get to?
I started Luther number one from Vertigo, but I haven't finished it.
Okay.
Great art. Oh, Justice League 40-something.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I did say that. I didn't put that on my list.
I read it this afternoon, so that's the reason it just popped in my mind. Make sure I'm not missing anything else. Yeah, that's my one other thing I've read. I like the issue with guest artist Francis Manapul.
Mm-hmm.
This whole Dark Side War. I had to always think about it. I want to say Dark Seed.
We're trying to fix that.
Yeah. Dark Side War is teaching me about the new gods and who are their enemies?
The new gods and Dark Side.
I guess they don't have a name. Just new gods are the good guys.
Yeah,
go with that.
Okay,
go with
that. So like Big Barda and Mr. Miracle. I always thought. Like, I used to always see Mr. Miracle on the Justice League cartoon, and for some reason I thought he was like an android or something, just because he had this funny suit on with the mask.
Yeah, it's a suit that makes it.
I don't blame you in that regard.
So it's like, it's an actual guy under all that.
Scott Free.
Yeah, Scott Free and his wife, Big Barda, we meet, or Barda. Do they call her Big in this? She wasn't that big. Because I'm assuming that's half the reason why they call her Big Barda in the issue.
Oh no, that was funny.
Darkseid's daughter Grell, I guess, gets the anti-life equation, which I always thought that was silly, and I still do.
I never understood.
Yeah, I still don't understand what the anti-life equation was. Is that just like the big MacGuffin, like the Infinity Gems?
Kinda. Like I said, I really can't speak to that because there was a lot of Darkseid related stuff in like the 80s that was related to his search for the anti-life equation, and I think Crisis may have had something to do with some of that stuff too. So I can't really say, but it's this ongoing thing where now they've brought it back, and now everyone is a god or goddess of something in this. And that's that's pretty much where we are at this point. The story is moving along very slowly as we explore how each member of the Justice League and some of the other characters are developing into the god or goddess of whatever it is they are and how they're coping. So I guess in the next issue we get to at least what it says here is next Dark Side War Act 3. So I wonder if Act 3 is the big confrontation.
Yeah, because Darkseid's dead, so now they have to go kill
Grail, I guess?
The
Anti-Monitor. Yeah.
He's a nerd dude I never understood either.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
So this is part 6 of Darkseid War, by the way.
Yeah.
So that's all DC now, for me at least.
On a side note, if you can check YouTube for this or whatever, but there's a clip of Teen Titans Go where the Teen Titans end up taking over for the Justice League and they fight Darkseid. It's pretty funny, including a cameo from, well, not a cameo, but the person who plays Darkseid is interesting. You may already know by now because it's kind of been out there before. So it was pretty cool.
Oh, by the way, I did read Batman Europa number 2. It's art exclusively by Giuseppe Camicoli this issue. You don't see a speck of Jim Lee art anywhere. So that's definitely going to turn off a lot of the fanboys. It's another issue of Batman struggling with his team up with the Joker as they race to find the cure to the poison that they've both been infected with. They're on a tour of Europe. They're in Prague, I believe, this issue, and they're headed to Paris, the City of Lights, in the next issue. There's very little at this point that unless you're a big Batman fanboy and you really want to see how this writing team, I'm not going to jump into the names of the writers, but how this writing team kind of reacts to this particular partnership, and the dynamics between Batman and Joker as they try their best to work together to keep themselves alive. So there's not much to this. I kind of read through it earlier in the week with the early preview copy. So it wasn't all that memorable. I remember some of the big story beats, but other than that, is it must read? I don't think so. Any other DC before we move on?
No,
nada.
Cool.
Let me rant on how bad Ultimate End number 5 is.
Okay, we want to start with that one?
Sure.
Okay. So, Tim has been holding back for a couple of
really.
Days. Well, I got excited when I saw it on the list of books for the week earlier in the week. I was like, oh, it's finally coming out. We get to see how this ends, because supposedly Bendis said the fifth issue is going to explain everything. And did it really? Did it really explain everything?
Not so much.
Or did he just talk a lot?
He talked a heck of a lot.
Just a lot. Where do you even begin with this? So Miles Morales shows up between the fighting of the 616 and was it 1616
or 1610?
Whatever they call themselves, and kind of does an information dump, or has Jean Grey's do an information dump of what all he's learned and how Doom set up this part of New York to have his arch enemies fight each other to the death. I don't even know if it's like over and over again. And how would the Ultimate Heroes be his villains when he hasn't met them before?
I don't know. He basically found like the perfect doppelgangers. Maybe that's what's implied, I think.
So that was
silly.
Yeah,
I thought that was silly. I agree.
I'm trying to remember how exactly. I'm trying to remember how we got to the end where we got to see Miles in the 616. Was there a transition of some kind?
Hold on, I'm flipping.
Oh, that's right. Because they rushed through the ending of Secret Wars without actually revealing anything, which I have no problem with because it hasn't ended yet. So they had to dance around that, and characters brought back to life, and sets up Spider-Man number one in February, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But man, was this series
pointless?
Yes,
completely pointless. This was not even, you know, it was just sad.
So you're saying it went out with a whimper, huh?
Yes, definitely a whimper.
I hate it for you fans of the Ultimate Universe. That's how your universe ends.
Mm-hmm.
How you think we felt about the new universe? Oh, no.
No, no.
Actually, that wasn't.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of weird. Like, when you get to the ending, you know, that was kind of a cool moment. You know, that I'm not spoiling too much, but I'm going to ring the bell. You know, Tim mentioned the return of a character, and I was kind of taken aback by that. And obviously, it's going to be explored in the future Spider-Man series. But I was, I was kind of shocked at that. I'm kind of glad to see they didn't kill off Gonke, because you know they need more Asian brothers in the comics. So he's still around.
Question: myself and loyal listener / watcher William Bruce West. We were talking about this online this week, and we were trying to figure out if when we saw Gonke and all them and Miles, in Miles' mind, is it like he's always been on the 616 universe, or is he aware of what's happened? I say, because I think CBR in their review or something like that, when they did the little spoiler post saying, you know, who's back alive, they mentioned how something about him not being aware, or it seeming like his life has always happened on the 616 now. And I didn't take it that way, just because I can't even talk about this because of the person involved, but he was shot to see someone.
Yeah. He knows what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be weird if he didn't, because pretty much any other mentions have so far been, like, at least to the incursion part, like, whether, you know, the actual events of Secret War, but people at least know things happened.
Right, he knows that things are different. I think that's the gist of it. I think Miles knows that things are different, but he's adjusting very well, obviously, because he's gotten to know a lot of the mainstream Marvel characters. You know, the 616 versions, at least.
And you know what? Now that I think about it, I kind of wonder if anybody actually knows what actually happened during Secret Wars. Because I'm thinking back to Ultimates. Because remember, this is slightly off topic, but Blue Barn Bull was messing with ISO 8, and he was like, hey, before this point, like, he couldn't get anything to happen with it, and then from this point, now it's stable, so something's happened in between there. Now, whether that's going to get addressed or looked into at some point, I don't know, but, you know, like I said, people know about the incursions, and people know things are different, but they don't know, no one necessarily addressed what happened during Secret Wars.
Right.
Once we get to the end of Secret Wars, that everybody's mind got wiped or something, I don't know.
That's Ultimate End number 5.
Interesting.
I could touch on the Inhuman books.
Sure.
Uncanny Inhumans number 3. It's the Inhumans taking on the new Kang, who was their son, Uhura. Spoiler alert. Not so much.
It's a mild spoiler. Yeah. It's a mild spoiler.
The fight's kind of, it's not that interesting. They kill him, but then they're going to go back in time to save him, I guess, is what I got from it.
Yeah, they're basically going to
go back. He's gotten mad with power Black Bolt uses his voice to disintegrate him, I guess you can say. Mm-hmm. And now they're going to, I guess, use Reader's abilities to go back in time to save him from Kang.
I guess.
Yes, yeah.
I guess. I mean, you know, way too much messing around with the time stream here, you know?
And not in a very interesting way.
What were you going to say, Roddy?
No, I was about to say, yeah, that's what got us into this mess.
Exactly. So, you know, obviously Beast is around, so, you know, more time travel shenanigans whenever he's around. But obviously, you know, anytime Kang is involved, you're going to have some time travel shenanigans. So you just have to get used to that idea. I did read this. I neglected. I don't know if I put this on my list of books. I found the art by McNiven in this to actually, you know, to help. It actually helped the story along because I thought that he did a good job of making Black Bolt look like he was sad or kind of emoting in a couple of panels where he needed to look like, you know, he didn't want to do what he ended up doing. You know, it was actually pretty cool to see Black Bolt, you know, kind of cut loose. There's a sequence where he cuts loose and we basically find out what, it's not exactly the Human Torch's Nova Flame, but we kind of find out what would happen if the Human Torch was basically focusing, you know, most of, if not all of his power in one direction, and Black Bolt unleashed his voice in the other direction, in direct opposition to it, and we found out what happened. So, you know, that's a pretty cool sequence. But like Tim said, you know, we get some more time travel shenanigans once the threat of Uhura / Kang has been defeated.
And in All New Inhumans number 2, more political intrigue where Crystal takes her team of Inhumans to a nation that I don't remember the name of, where this guy rules with an iron fist and has all the people that live there scared and under his iron thumb. Of course, they're allowed to go interview some of the locals to see what happened when the Terrigen Mist cloud came over their country, but supposedly no one was infected, yada, yada, yada. They love their ruler. Crystal, of course, sends some Inhumans off to research on their own to get real answers. They find out during a dinner with the ruler that I guess he experimented on the people and some other stuff. At the beginning of the issue, there's a cameo by the S.H.I.E.L.D. liaison for the Inhumans, Quake, a.k.a. Daisy Johnson, since she's now an Inhuman also to match the television show.
Synergy!
Yeah. Stefano Caselli's art is great, which is probably the main reason why I like reading this book. But even the writing by, I believe, James Asmus is the main writer, and Charles Soule probably just like looks over the script to make sure it aligns up with what they have planned for the Inhuman stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm enjoying this issue, or this book, period.
Yeah, I started reading this, and I'm familiar with you know, with where this is headed. I like the fact that they're really following up with the ramifications of the Terrigen Cloud. You know, and they're using this as a real, as a real gateway into the Inhumans for a lot of people. You know, because it's one thing to talk about Black Bolt and Medusa; those are the main characters that most of the fans are familiar with. But, you know, people who go back a little bit further are familiar with Crystal, and it's kind of cool to see her take a lead role in this PR campaign. You know, a lot of people still remember Crystal being a member of the Fantastic Four. She's one of the first substitute members of the Fantastic Four. You know, this is back when I believe it was Sue Richards was pregnant. Mm. So, you know, it's cool. I did not finish it, so I can't speak to the rest of the issue, but I'm glad to see that, at least this issue is good enough to keep you reading.
Okay. I'll let y'all go for now.
I was about to say, hey, Tim, is are the Inhumans about to be your new X-Men?
Yeah, I guess they are, because, I mean, Extraordinary X-Men's fine. All New X-Men number 2 came out this week. That book's, I just wrote from my notes, it's okay. They're getting to they're dealing with how young Cyclops is dealing with the fallout from what his older self did, which we still don't know what he did.
Right.
To set everyone off on him and supposedly kill himself, have himself killed, even though he probably will return later, of course. But he'll probably come back changed from the Terrigen Cloud. But, okay. Yeah, that's my quick All New X-Men number 2 review.
I love it. I love it. All right, Roddy. What do we got?
Let's see.
Did you read Darth Vader Annual number 1?
I did read Darth Vader Annual number 1. Yeah, we can go ahead and get to the Star Wars block.
Star Wars.
I didn't get my book. I didn't get my physical copy because my shop didn't said he got shorted, so I got to go back and get that one. I guess Monday or something. But at least I did read it. There's nothing really tying this book to anything as far as I know.
Nothing earth shattering in this, right. But there's a couple of really cool moments. Basically, it's the story of Darth Vader laying the law down on a planet that's under the Empire's influence. We'll put it that way because I don't believe it's actually part of the Empire. They're actually supplying the Empire with an ore.
Yeah, actually, I think it is. It's just that since the as a matter of fact, it's basically since the Death Star got blown up, people are starting to feel themselves get a little froggy so Vader goes to this planet to get some order here, and also to actually see, because the self-same planet was producing this ore, like you said, and they were kind of getting behind in it, so Vader goes to check on it. On the other side of that, the monarchy of this planet was plotting against Vader, knowing he was coming,
right,
and had his children set up to do various things, and had his one child set up for the fall,
right?
In a sense, not necessarily, but you know, had her want to sacrifice herself. So, and during the course of this issue, we see Vader kind of going through the motions, and this is a society that kind of is almost, I guess, of a Renaissance era type monarchy. Okay. So they were having a dance, you know, in honor of Vader, and Vader wasn't really having it.
Right.
It was kind of funny, the one part where it was like this one noble was like, "You must dance, everybody here must dance," and for Vader, and the king's daughter who was showing Vader around was like, "You might not want to do that," and then Vader just pushes him here and there, and it was like, "Anybody else want to dance?"
Yeah,
basically. So yeah. That was kind of funny. But then the rest of this is like, and on the other side also, we have the droids, BT and 000, kind of behind the scenes doing their, what ends up being their mission to get to the king, to which they have successfully done in their own fashion, and do some dirt, which at the end of the issue leaves the planet with one less king, but with a new queen, who apparently was supposed to die.
Mm-hmm.
And the lesson being from... and Vader also brings a gift, which happened to be a rock from Alderaan.
Yeah.
And basically was like, this is what happens to anybody who opposes.
Crosses, yeah.
So you know who you work for, get to getting.
Exactly. Now, let me tell you. I think some of the pages from this, art-wise, if Lane O.U. has original art for this book, those pages are going to sell for a lot of money. Yes. There are a lot of money shots of Darth Vader in this.
Yeah, it's like particularly the one where the ship comes crashing through and Vader's like right underneath it when they were trying to ambush him. That was a nice splash page there.
Sure, there's the opening splash where Vader is disembarking from his TIE fighter.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great page. I can only imagine what those pages are going to garner on the open market, should they ever become available through like an art dealer or something, because there's just some really great Vader shots in this. Just really well done by Lane O'Yu. So that was a huge highlight of the book. Like you said, Roddy, there's a lot of cool plot lines that are threading through this book. Especially, you know, obviously it's cool that they incorporate the droids. You know, we don't actually see Aphra in this. We just see the droids.
Right.
So, you know, some of the supporting characters that are in the Darth Vader series appear in this. And, you know, it's a cool kind of tour de force for the character. Shout out to Matt Wang, who mentioned to me that when he pulled up the physical copy, and I noticed this when I picked up the physical copy too, the cover itself, because it's Darth Vader on a white background, makes it look like a variant cover.
Right.
And you realize that it's not; it's actually the main cover. So, you know, it was a fun read. Nothing too, you know, nothing out there. Just a great little one and done story.
Right. Which, you know, which is cool. You know, didn't need the annual to just be dropping into everything. Doesn't always happen that way. So luckily, it was a solid story.
What was the other Star Wars? Oh, Kanan.
Kanan, the last Padawan, number 9.
So did we come to an end?
Yeah, I was going to say, didn't we get some news on this that it was coming to an end at 12?
Oh, is it? Okay. Yeah. Well, that would make some sense.
Okay.
Which
issue was this? 7?
9.
Nine.
Yeah, I've I have long thought this was going to be a miniseries anyway, but and I thought it was supposed to go into a Rebels book, which it kind of didn't. Although the Rebels do show up here, but it's only from like in the midst of one arc to another.
Okay.
Like, all you see here is a bunch of flashbacks. Basically, all of the arcs are flashbacks to when he was a Padawan, naturally. And this one goes back further than the last arc to where it is the first mission that Kanan / Caleb takes with his master Depa Bilaba, you know. So, and they have the first mission together, and things are going well. Kanan gets himself hurt, but, you know, and they meet the crew that ends up, that you see from the last arc that was hunting them down, which was kind of weird with the book. It was like, this book seems to be going backwards instead of forward. Or it actually has been kind of jumping back and forth during the last couple of arcs, realistically.
Okay.
But at the end of this issue, we see a familiar villain from the Clone Wars / prequel trilogy that is going to show up, because their mission on this planet, which started out as a recon mission, you know, ended up going a little sideways, and they had to work their way out of. But now they end up going to another planet where they are going to end up with a very familiar villain from the prequel trilogy.
Okay.
And that's where that ends. Like I said, this is a solid book. I mean, it was all right. So there was not nothing else to really say about this one. Did they say anything about any other, like, a book starting up past this? In the same time frame, or no?
Not sure. I just remember seeing a news article about this being now confirmed to be a 12-issue series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they've been very clear about that in the last few years. It's great.
All right. Let's see. Righty, tell us about Illuminati number 2.
I enjoy this book.
Nice.
I think I kind of feel like
Illuminati.
I think I might. No, it's okay. I might feel about this book how you guys felt about
Superior Foe,
the Spider-Man. Yeah, okay. Granted, different writer. Or is it a different writer? Yeah, maybe
it is a different writer. Yeah, this is Joshua Williamson.
Yeah, but
Superior Foes was Sam Humphries.
Okay.
What?
Superior Foes, was that Sam Humphries?
That was Nick
Spencer. Wait, Nick Spencer.
Oh, Nick Spencer. Yeah. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Okay. No, it's okay. But either way, it doesn't have necessarily the most jokey tone as far as that one kind of did. Like, I hadn't really finished reading that one. I need to go back and finish that one. But I kind of enjoyed the premise of this one, because this is basically, I want to call him Red Hood. The Hood getting together a bunch of villains for a score, you know, just to set themselves off as, you know, to the big times. So in this issue, they're all together. They're at Club Fenris, which longtime Marvel readers would know from pretty much more X-Men, I guess.
Right.
And they're going in there, and they're just, you know, finding this one doctor who is trying to create an artificial Bifrost, because their big score is them going to Asgardia, stealing some weapons and selling them, you know, making some bank. So so this is them going into Club Fenris. The Strucker twins are there, which I haven't seen them in a while. And I thought they were dead. They kind of briefly mentioned that in this. They basically say, yeah, father took care of that. So okay. I don't know how that happened, but yeah, they're still alive.
That's so weird, because didn't they like die, and then one of them died, and the brother took all the power or something like that? I could be wrong.
Yeah. I don't know. Jeez. So that was weird about it, because those are not the only old villains that you see in this one, because you see the Trapster, aka Paste Pot Pete, who Titania ends up meeting up with at the bar, because basically everybody's splitting up doing a couple of things. Like, the Hood's talking to the doctor they're with the Enchantress. Titania and Thunderball are kind of not casing the joint, but just kind of working their way around the room, you know, talking to people here and there. So Titania meets up with Trapster, and they talk about old stuff, and then Trapster's like, hey, I know something about, you know, Absorbing Man you might want to know about.
Mm-hmm.
So she was like, no. So he was like, well, tell me. And he was like, well, let's go in the back and we'll talk about it. Or let's go outside and let's talk about it. Which also brings up this other thing, because there's this one rule that Club Fenris has that gets broken later on in the issue.
Well, obviously somebody talked about it, but go on.
Well, no, it's not even that one, but yeah, that would be one. So, Titania goes with Trapster. Trapster tries to set her up, trying to shake her down for money, because she was like, look, I know you're rolling with Red Hood, you got some money, I'm falling on hard times, you're going to do something. So they have some words and whatnot, which is kind of funny because, you know, Trapster does what Trapster does. That didn't work out because Titania, let's say, got out of it.
And then
goes back into the club because she was like, okay, we can't be here because this place is not safe. So she goes back in, tries to get back over to where the Hood is. Meanwhile, he's talking to this doctor where they're trying to get whatever technology he's working on and trying to schmooze him. Where their plan was, which was kind of interesting. I don't know if anybody's going to read this book because I'm telling this whole thing. Mm-hmm. So they have this plan. The plan is in action. They put something in his drink, which ends up being a problem.
I just flipped to it. That's kind of gross.
Yeah, because once they get what they need and the other thing takes an effect, or in this case, Black Ant, who was inside of this doctor, starts to grow and just wouldn't stop growing. So you can imagine how that plays out, mm-hmm. which ends up being the rule that is broken in Club Fenris.
Oh, Club Fenris.
Yep, which means no killing. And since that happens, now the Strucker twins are like, all right, everybody bring me the head of the Hood. So and that's where we end the Hood and his crew. So that's where we end off. Got a whole club full of villains about to go up against our crew here.
Cool.
So
I'm looking forward to reading this now.
Yeah,
You had like a pretty energetic review about this. I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm enjoying this book. Like I said, this like the premise is like, all right, let's see what the villains are doing, and clearly things are not going to go directly as planned, but it's the villains. What else was going to happen? Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of enjoying it. If it's kind of stays at the same pace, I'm going to enjoy this book.
All right. You know what I was going to say? There was always a lovable nature to the Superior Foes book. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you get that here. I think that's the twist. The twist is that these are not, you know, like kind of like the misguided ne'er-do-wells. These are actually bad people for the most part. So
right, and they're not. So they don't necessarily come off as bumbling here. Like but you never really see them. Like they squabble in between, between each other, this and that and the other. But and they have their own agendas for doing things. But there is some actually kind of times like comedy, because if you flip through the book, you see Mad Thinker. You know, they meet up with Mad Thinker before they start talking about the plan.
Right.
Well, and he's just in his undies because his genius has to breathe. You get comedic moments like that, and then, like I said, what happens later on.
Right.
And this is a potential click of the week. I will go ahead and say that right now. Nice. But, I'm enjoying this book.
All right. Are we in rapid fire time?
Yeah. I was going to bring
that up. All right. So, rapid fire. I have one book. Let me just double check what I listed on our sheet this week.
Got two.
I talked about Europa, American Alien. I've got Mighty Thor number 2. I'll just touch on real quick. It's a great little follow-up to what I thought was a phenomenal number 1 issue. We have Loki showing where what his new status quo is going to be in the Thor book. We have spoiler alert, mild spoiler, because this has been the status quo for a while. We have Jane Foster Thor kind of dealing with some issues she's having with the denizens of Asgard and this Thunder Guard that Odin and his brother Kul have put together to kind of take the Odin son's place, and we find her having to deal with them while in the other half of the story, we have Loki working with his father Lofey and the council. There's like a group that Malekith's Dark Council, right? It's a group that's, I guess, opposing the Council of Worlds. So it's like the bad guy group amongst the 9 or 10 realms. And we basically see these groups develop. Thor is trying to put a stop to the war of the realms, and Loki, basically at the end of the issue, we have Loki and Jane Foster Thor facing off for the first time, and it's an interesting lead up to what we all knew was going to happen. It's kind of jarring to see Loki back. We obviously don't know exactly how Loki gets to this point. We're not sure what his motives are. We've been so reading the stories of mischievous Loki for so long, it's hard to see him as evil Loki until we start to see some evil things happen, start to see him do evil things that are, less mischievous and far more evil than anyone could possibly politic around. So You know, it's a cool little lead into what's going to be a pretty good third issue, I think, because it's going to really establish where we are with Jane Foster as Thor and this War of the Realms. I think this is still a good jumping on point, to be perfectly honest. Even though it's a second issue, you don't necessarily have had to read the first issue to understand what's going on in this issue.
But the first issue is really good too, so.
Yeah, go read that first issue. Yeah. But if you're in any way familiar with Thor, even without knowing that Thor right now is Jane Foster, you can pick up this issue and fully see where this confrontation is going, and it's just a great chapter in the story. Let me pick up Web Warriors number 2. I'm a fan of this story, this book. You know, I like the Spider-Verse crossover. I like the fact that we still have this this book that keeps this team of multiple reality Spider-Men, Spider-Women together. Right now, what they're facing is a group, basically an opposing group of multiple world Electros, and it's really well done. I like the writing. The story is just very snappy. There's a lot of banter between the characters. The writer is Mike Costa, and the art is David Baldion. The art may not be to everyone's liking. It's a little bit on the cartoony / anime side, but you know, it's fine for me. I get a kick out of some of the expressions that Baldion puts on the faces. But it's really the writing that Costa puts in. It's just a really well crafted book. Like I said, I like the witty banter that happens between not just the Spider-Verse crew, but also the various Electros. So that's really it's really a fun book. You know, if anyone is looking for something that's kind of like a fun alternate take on Spidey, pick that up. It's really fun. The last book I'm going to mention, and my reviews this week have been fairly silent when it comes to potential clicks of the week. You know, the book was, you know, the week's worth of books were good, but nothing really jumped out as kind of being potential clicks of the week until the last book I'm going to talk about, which is Ms. Marvel number 2. Now, this is this has definitely jumped up to the top or near the top of my reading list. And for good reason. The team of G. Willow Wilson and the alternating artists, Adrian Alfona, and in this issue, it is, I don't want to butcher the name, it is, one moment, the artist on this one is Takeshi Miyazawa. I didn't want to confuse the name. But, you know, it's nice to have a consistent team. You know, Miyazawa and Alfona basically have been alternating books or story arcs for a while now. You know, it shows that, you know, they definitely have the look of these characters down. In this issue, we have basically a direct continuation of the new status quo in Jersey City, which is some gentrification going on, being spearheaded by Hope Yards Development. And we basically find out there that this development is basically has some ulterior motives. They have some devious plots in mind, and they are also, believe it or not, based they're basically a front for one of the nefarious groups of ne'er-do-wells in the Marvel Universe that has an acronym for a name. I'll leave it at that without spoiling too much. One of the other side stories that we get, it's kind of a cool thing. We have Kamala's brother asking her for help because in Islam, at least, you know, the brother is much more religious than she is. He basically asked her to accompany him on a date because he needs a female, you know, like a family member to accompany him while he's on this date with this with this young lady. So it's pretty cool to see the family relationship continue to grow between these characters. And finally, I wanted to wrap with, we have the reappearance of a Captain America villain. This is a villain that has long been a member of Cap's Rogues Gallery, and it's interesting to see him pop up. But he is also very much related to the villainous group with an acronym for a name. So it's pretty good. This is, I love that, this story is just continuing to develop these characters at such a good pace. You know, we don't necessarily ever miss any one character, for more than one or two issues. And everyone is moving along. They have great storylines that G. Willow Wilson kind of weaves in and out of the story, the greater story of Kamala Khan. So it's just really well done. The art, like I said, is top notch. This is my click of the week for this week, Ms. Marvel number 2.
And it is also my click of the week.
No kidding!
Yes, because I read it right before the show and changed my mind.
I was going to say, wait a minute. You had something totally different.
I did, but then I read that, and for all the things that Agent 70 said, like the reveal of who this property group is, the interaction between Kamala and her family, the art is... Like I said, for some reason, I never have it real low on my list of things to read, but Ms. Marvel is never, one of the first ones I read each week when it comes out, and I keep saying it needs to be, because I end up enjoying it each time. And it probably could be my click of the week each week it comes out.
I want to say I think it probably was for, me and probably Agent 70. So,
usually someone on the show makes it their click of the week. We'll put it that way.
Yeah.
Which, here's the funny thing about that. The only reason why I can't say anything about the book is because I haven't read it yet. And I haven't read
I'm glad I kept it relatively spoiler free.
Even if you hadn't, it wouldn't have stopped me from, because I've been enjoying the book, like I said, at least the last volume. I haven't really checked out this one just yet. So, and I probably would have done the same thing as Tim if I had read it and liked it enough. So, but before that, it was Illuminati. Anyway, but, which I may just get rid of the way. So I got one more, because I guess we've kind of already gone into clicks of the week at that, but I got one more quick
rapid fire one.
Star Trek Starfleet Academy number 1.
I saw that on the shelves. Tell us about it, because I was really intrigued, because I like the cover.
So there may be a couple of stories going on here, or there it's going to be like two branches of the same story that seem to be going to converge at one point. So, and it's happening at two different time periods, 2258 and 2261. So part of it is we see a couple of members of our Star Trek crew, the new crew, not the original crew, the Abrams universe, let's say. In Starfleet Academy, Uhura's picked up some noise that she's been trying to decipher what it is, but she can't quite get it. There's some signal she's trying to dope out. Now, on the other side, she's just broken up or just split with Spock for the umpteenth time, I guess, at this point, because, like I said, they were still in the Academy and they were dating, even though they're not, there are no real ties outside of the fact that they had one class together and blah, blah, blah. So the story starts with that, and then Kirk comes in being Kirk, because he was in the self-same bar and, messing with women as he does, and apparently got one alien to to swear off humans, which was kind of funny. So then he goes to talk to Uhura. They talk for a second, and then it cuts to 3 years later, where we see this Vulcan lady that we don't know about named T'Lan. She's in Starfleet, as Vulcans are, they're pretty smart, and this one's no exception, but we start going into her story about wanting to leave Starfleet and go back to New Vulcan to try to help out there, because, like I said, this takes place during the 2009 movie, that's even referenced at one point between Kirk and Uhura about something on the side, so take that with you. So that being said, this Vulcan T'Lan wants to go back home to help with, what's going on them, because they're an endangered species at this point, and they're trying to help out, with everything there. But her counselor, guidance person, whoever, wants her to join this team of Starfleet members to do this big race or something. I guess it's an engineering race, and she's an engineer. But she wants to leave. So he makes a deal with her, you do this, and then you can leave regardless of whether we win or lose. So her part of the story is basically her doing this against her better judgment, and then meeting her team later on, which was really weird, because it's like there's a Vulcan contingent that's there that acted really, really kind of, I don't want to say shitty, but because it's Vulcan, but they were not, the head guy was not nice to her, because he basically said, you're sitting here all safe with the humans while our people are, you know, are struggling or whatnot. And she was feeling kind of bad about that. So.
Well, in the next movie, they get, well, later in the movie, they get whacked. But anyway, whatchamacallit? So what?
Well, no, this was after, like I said, this is pretty much after that. So the
Vulcan, they're in the colony. The I gotcha.
Yeah, I gotcha. They're kind of picking up the pieces and whatnot.
Right. So what's wrong with the, wow, why is there no Beastie Boys music? Come on. You know? I mean, you know, we find out that, you know, Star Trek gets faster and furiouser. So
yeah, that's absolutely true. So the rest of the issue goes pretty much like, well, it flips back and forth between the two time periods and what's going on, like like 3 years, it's basically 3 years difference. So there's the back and forth between them trying to do this race, whatever, and does tie back into what Uhura and them doing, because it has to do with, it goes back to like, this is like the 100th anniversary of Starfleet's founding, and during the course of the opening ceremonies of this race or whatever, you know, the admiral, whoever was talking, was basically mentions this crew of the ship, and also that has some issues, and also ties into the founding of Starfleet, which, again, the name of the ship is, I can't remember what it is right now, but it goes back to what Uhura's working on, because somewhere in the book, there's the signal gets decoded, and it is seemingly either from this crew of the that had the issues prior, or something to do with them. We don't know at this point. So, I don't know if the time flip thing is going to keep going on, but that's what was going on in this issue. And I don't know, like I said, none of the Talon stuff directly tied so far to the stuff that Uhura and Chekhov ended up working on.
Okay.
So, but at some point, and since this is a 6-issue miniseries, I believe I'm sure that's going to come together in the next one or two. But it was a decent book to read, and again, I don't know if it's going to have anything to do with Star Trek Beyond, which is coming soon. Who knows? Or this is just a standalone story, you know, based in that universe, but I have a feeling it's all going to tie somewhere, because that's pretty much what they've been doing with these books.
Mm-hmm. How was the art?
The art was not bad. I think it's pretty similar to what's, if you've read any of the recent Star Trek books, excuse me, it's pretty similar to that.
Okay.
All right, cool. We'll take a look at that.
Yeah. Well, actually, I'll take it away. So it is a little different, but it was clean. The I don't know what the reference they have for Uhura, but it's not Zoe Saldana.
Really?
In those parts, you know, but everybody else kind of looks relatively just the same as they would, you know.
That's kind of annoying.
Yeah, but, you know, it is what it is at this point. Like, pretty much almost everybody else, and even in certain cases, she kind of looks the same blur, but she's probably the only noticeable difference in between everybody, but everybody else kind of keeps the same looks.
All right.
I should point out that PCN Dirt's pick for the week was Squadron Supreme number one.
Mm-hmm. Which makes me want to read it more, so that's cool.
It was an interesting read. And since we're at that point, my click of the week is Illuminati number two.
Illuminati!
Because I enjoyed that book and I did not get a chance to read Ms. Marvel yet, so I don't know.
Nice. All right, cool.
All right. And before I do the rundown, PCN Dirt already revealed this to the fellas on their chat, but I sent out these Christmas or holiday cards.
Oh, yeah. Those are dope.
Nice!
Y'all should be getting this week. That's the front. Cool. And here's the back.
That's cool.
Nice.
Got our info on there.
That's cool, man.
So, shout out to Vistaprint having a holiday sale. So, nice. I sent that to some of the publishers.
Nice. Good job, man.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That was the main reason for doing it. And I was like, hey, let me send this out to the fellas, too.
Cool.
That's cool.
So, yeah, I sent to Marvel, sent to DC, Boom, Dark Horse.
IDW?
No.
Oh, okay. Aww.
Didn't send it to everyone. Maybe next year. I guess I don't know if I really talked to anyone with IDW. That was one reason why.
Hey, speaking of, nobody read Hulk.
I didn't read any Image this week. I'm like two or three weeks behind on Image.
I picked up a physical copy of Hulk number two, but I haven't had a chance to read it yet.
I got to do some binging because I haven't read. Descender came out this week. Usually, Descender is usually one of the first things I read it each week.
Yeah, I am also behind on Hacktivist because I think that's the last issue of this particular volume. I think
it is.
So I'm behind. I have not read it yet. Maybe that'll be part of a package.
I want to invite those guys on the show.
Sure,
absolutely.
Need to also binge on volumes one and two. before doing that.
I have yet to read it. Hey, I don't know if this is news or not. Before we go, I just saw a tweet from Greg Pak saying he's starting to write Teen Titans in February.
What?
Is that actually news, or was that something that's out before?
It's been out for a couple weeks.
Okay.
You know, that Aquaman and Suicide Squad are getting new creative teams.
Right.
The new year.
Oh, it was a part of that stuff. Okay, yeah. I remember.
So I'm looking forward to reading Teen Titans again, because this last stuff has been there. And I'm like 2 issues behind on that. Like, I've just kind of been flipping through it just to see what happens.
Right.
I really just need to just wait till he starts his run.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check it out when he starts his run. Yeah. So.
All right. Like a good plan.
So I want to thank everyone for tuning in to tonight's Comic Book Chronicles.
Maybe not the last one of the year.
Yes. Remains to be seen. Well, stay tuned to our social media accounts to find out when we'll be recording next.
Right. That'll be big, big episode 150.
There we go.
Should probably have something planned for that.
Yes, we will. We will. We will.
Follow us on our individual Twitter accounts. I'm at TimDogg98 and at CBCron. Dirt, who's not here, is at PCN_Dirt. And go to his website, popculturenetwork.com. Agent70 is at Agent_70. And Roddy is at RoddyCat and at NewsNerdsNeed. And with that, we'll be back at some point recording another show.
That's right.
Enjoyed Star Wars The Force Awakens, and have a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas,
happy
everyone.
New Year. Happy Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa, happy festivals, happy all the holidays and stuff.
You got it.
That's right. We are the Comic Book Chronicles, and we are signing off.
Hey!